Nice to have our visitors with us tonight.
Mayor Gilson.
We're on our fifth lesson about Christian finances. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how's it flowing, meaning cash flow. We'll talk about that, and as time allows, we'll probably get into sharing of risk, what that is. That's really about insurance. So, very briefly, our study goal for these series of lessons about Christian finance is to become successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in our lives, and thus good representatives of our faith. And I think it's important to keep focused on the fact of on the lessons. We've established the fact that 100% of everything that we are blessed to have is really God's, and that we've established in previous lessons from a biblical standpoint of view that what God requires of us is that we give him a tenth back, and that's what the term tithe means. And anything above that, he certainly would have our hearts to give, but the minimum is a tenth. We've broken these lessons down, and we're now beginning really on the second side of this equation. But the first side that we talked about in the last lessons is establishing a biblical foundation for these discussions about our finances. And we've talked about an eternal perspective. We've talked about keeping our eyes upon Christ, not focusing on money. And we've talked about that one of the key issues that face families and husbands and wives is struggles around money. And so unity with spouse is something that's very important. And again, it's a very biblical principle. And we need to make sure that we're making decisions that are based in what the Bible would have us to do. And certainly look to the Bible for our counsel and not to be afraid to seek out our pastor and share with him your burdens and concerns. We're going to move in now to really talking about some tools that I believe that can allow us to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And tonight, that's where we're going to start talking about cash flow, and we're going to talk about insurance, and eventually we'll be talking about savings and investments, and you know, planning for retirement, and also how do we plan in terms of leaving things on, passing things on from a will standpoint of view to family. Any questions on any of this? What is cash flow? Money in, money out. Cash flow is a comparison of cash coming into your life versus cash going out. And a fairly simple principle is probably a principle that all of us may have at some period in our life experienced that we've had more going out than we've had coming in. And thus, one of the issues that we're going to be talking about tonight. But I think it's also important to really establish a principle tonight, though, that this issue of cash flow and good stewardship really is a very much of a biblical principle. And if you look in the Proverbs 23rd chapter, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Again, when we start talking about cash, you know, if you look back in the time of the Bible and the Old Testament, the principle may not necessarily have been cash. But clearly, you know, how they lived was off the land and their herds and their stock and oil. You know, oil was very important to them to be able to light their homes. And so it was important here is that a foolish man devours all he has. In other words, you always want to keep something in reserve. And again, that's a principle when we talk about cash flow, you know, for that emergent type of a situation that may present itself in our lives. How do we plan for that? And those are going to be some of the things we're going to be having some discussion about in the coming weeks. Cash flow. There are really four areas which we spend money. The first that we've talked about is from a tithing standpoint of view. We've also concluded from our lessons in the past that God would have us to give him that tithe or that tenth off the top. And that we concluded that it's our first fruits and it's the best of what we have. The next thing is we spend money in taxes. It's one of those things that, again, that biblically we find the example is given and it says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. unto God what is God's. And again, very biblical principle in both of these two. Debts. Again, very much a biblical principle is that God would have us not necessarily to overextend ourselves into debt. But when we do, if we are someone who lends, we are not to be usury, or we're not to be excessive in what we require back in terms of interest. But we also have an obligation to pay those debts back. And on occasion, we find ourselves, and it's necessary to find ourselves in debt. And then the last is lifestyle. Probably the area that has the most flexibility in our lives, has the most individual choices, family choices, husband and wife choices, in terms of how we spend our money that we have coming in. This is really kind of a visual of what we've been talking about. Income comes into our families from our jobs, other sources. Perhaps you may have interest coming in from a checking account. But in general, we're going to talk about investment or income that comes in from our work. And out of that income that comes in, each paycheck we get, we have expenses. And if our expenses do not eat up the entire amount of income that came into our in our paycheck, we will have margin left. We'll have excess amount of money, discretionary income, that will be there for us to be able to spend as we choose. Fairly simple principle. Again, it's a principle that sometimes the simple things in life can be also the most difficult to experience or find our way into. There are really, I think, three main consequences. There's probably more, but I think consequences of a smaller negative cash flow. And again, you know, I invite all of you to kind of reflect upon your own lives at different stages, or perhaps even now, but that when you find yourself having very little money at the end of your paycheck, or none, or actually in a negative situation to where you're actually spending more than you're actually taking in, I think the first thing that happens is stress. And stress is not a healthy situation for any of us to experience. It can be difficult on our health. It can be very difficult on the relationship that we have with our spouse, our loved ones. And because that stress, that commitment, that understanding of knowing that you don't have enough money to be able to meet all the needs, and in fact, I may define my needs differently than my spouse may define it as, and that's where you see that tension in the relationships. And when you're living in a situation where that relationship isn't good, you know, that unity of the spouse that we talked about that God would have us have in our marriage is very much at risk. And from there, you know, a lot of things can spiral out of control because it's about communication and it's about unity in our households. But in addition to that stress, I think it puts us in a position, if you're living from paycheck to paycheck, and understand that there may be situations in your life that's unavoidable. You know, we can place out and we can say all the right things and we can say this is how in a perfect world things would happen. But again, there may be situations to where, you know, your financial situation may not allow you to do all the things that you would like to be able to do. And at that point in time, it does become a difficult situation to come back and look at the choices that we have. But in an ideal world, and I think in the world that God would have us to live in long term, that we would have goals, that we would be looking to the future. And if you take a look at even the children of Israel, you look at Moses, if you look in the book of Numbers, and you look at how when he led the children of Israel, you know, he had goals. He was planning. Brother Steve gave a lesson on the book of Haggai and Zerubbabel and the children of Israel. And they were planning. They had to plan towards that they wanted to rebuild the temple. And so they had to plan and they had to have goals that they were on the horizon of things that they wanted to accomplish. And I think it's important for us in our lives is if we can get ourselves to the point to where we can plan and look to the future, that's a good thing, and God would have us to do that. Not to the point to where we're depending upon ourselves, but to the point to where we're looking to be able to achieve certain things for our family's sake. But I also think that there's another biblical principle here that, remember, God would have us, when we see a need that others are having, that he would have us to step forward and help meet that individual's needs. And if we ourselves are not being good stewards of what God has entrusted us to, when we have those opportunities where we can make discretionary choices for ourselves, then I think that we're probably not being the types of stewards of our resources that God would have us to be. And so I think that a small or a negative cash flow through our choices that we make, that all three of these are things that can complicate our lives and don't allow us to really grow fully in our relationship with God either. Questions, comments, agree, disagree? To increase margin, that's the discretionary part of our paychecks that we've talked about, we must either increase income or decrease expenses. I think those are the two choices we've got. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem to be the easiest thing in the world for me to be able to increase my income. I just decide. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, that we're blessed and we're fortunate that does happen. But that typically isn't the place that we find is the easiest. And we tend to find ourselves having to talk about decreasing expenses. So which of these expenses can we cut? We talked about the four areas. First was tithing. Tithing by definition is a tenth. Do we have a biblical example or precedence to where God would say that that's a place that we should cut? I don't think so. Can we cut taxes? He probably wouldn't like that too well, no. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, what's this view look like? Yeah, through the bars.
What's the worst is being out of employment for years, being out of work and being shut down out of money, being flat broke on your face.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You can't afford that.
And that's a difficult situation to find yourself in.
Especially and being discriminated because of the immigration thing that's going on. They're trying to push the bill because there's a lot of legals and a lot of Americans. Like me and my wife have been discriminated out of work in California, not just Oregon. It's hard to get work because they hire more of them, less of us.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of
hard on us.
There's a lot of those things that are happening in our society that are difficult for us to put our arms around and fully understand. And as I look at these types of situations, you know, there's things that may happen in our society that we may not fully appreciate, or we may feel that our taxes are too much, or we may not like the laws and the rules, the rules that our government may make. And yet, you know, we're blessed to live in a country to where we at least have an opportunity to have a voice in that. And I think that again, as long as that those principles are being followed according to the rules of our land, you know, while they may be uncomfortable for us, in fact, we may necessarily think that they're right, it still doesn't relieve us of the obligation that we have to pay those taxes. And in some cases, I think we're thankful that we have that where we have unemployment to where they can get us over some of those difficult situations in our lives.
Especially charities, too, want to give to charities. Mm-hmm. Makes it hard to give to charities when you've been unemployed for a while.
And those are all things that each one of us in our own individual lives we probably experienced, and we have to wrestle with those. Those are good points. The last is, not the last, but debt repayment. Is that an option for us? It's a possibility, yeah. And it's uncomfortable. Debt repayment's probably not the first one that you would go towards in terms of making choices, but sometimes it happens, and it's a fact because of situations where we may find ourselves out of work, we may find a difference in our jobs. You know, a lot of things may happen that may make this debt repayment difficult. And I think at that point, then you know, sometimes these situations come about, and I know some of us have had dialogues about this, and you kind of wonder, you know, what's the test or what's the trial that I may be going through, and what's the lesson for me to learn? But there are opportunities here that I do believe that we can grow from and we can learn, and maybe sometimes in the moment we may not fully appreciate the lesson or the trial that we're going through. But there are opportunities where we can seek out and go and sit down with the creditor and say, here's the situation that I'm in. You know, this is my work situation. And oftentimes those creditors are willing to work with us. And sometimes, though, that if we find ourselves and we can't still meet those obligations, even though our heart and our desire is to do those types of things, that there are options that are not as pleasant to us. And yet, again, what God holds us accountable to is the condition of our heart and our desires to want to do the right things. And again, it comes back to the scriptures that says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart, you know, where our heart is, that's where our treasure will be. And this is a difficult one, because this is one we're going to spend some time on in future lessons. But it's one that can create an awful lot of heartache. And even when you want to do the right thing sometimes, it just doesn't seem like if you go, we're going to look at a verse, remember in our discussions in the book of Ecclesiastes, that time and chance happen to all. And sometimes things happen that are out of our control, and it's just unfortunate. Brother Jim? You got a comment? This is the one, though, lifestyle. This is the one we want to make reasons why we can't do the tithing, the taxes, and sometimes debt repayment. Those are all the ones we say, well, we can cut there. You know, that's, you know, the taxes, well, we'll just kind of defer that. We won't necessarily step up and you know, I can get away, or maybe I can fudge this on my taxes. And sometimes you know, we take advantage of creditors, and we think it's their problem that we have. Sometimes we find ourselves in debt, or they're paying far too much. You know, they're charging us a usury amount, and so we rationalize a lot of things, but we tend not to look at lifestyle, because my experience is it's the most uncomfortable one, because it. Short term, when I'm making those decisions, it has the greatest impact on me, and frankly, upon my desires and on my wants, because we derive personal satisfaction out of lifestyle, oftentimes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. These the first three there you can kind of hide. You know, as we've talked in terms of tithing. It's not the obligation, bless you, it's not the obligation of this church to be checking your paycheck out and seeing whether or not you're tithing. Did you really give a 10? Did you give? You know, that's not, you know, God tells us what he expects of us, but he doesn't give it to me or the church to be able to go in and check out and see, did you really do that tithe? What do you think of when you hear the term budget?
Sheet of paper, restrictions.
Stretch it out.
Stretch it out.
Tight.
Or it can be wise management of your resources, too. Depends on how we look at it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that when we're
I think budgets also that... When you feel like you have to be in a budget, when you start talking about that, oftentimes it's because you feel you find yourself in one of those stressful situations. It tends to be reactive as opposed to proactive. But you know, a budget can really be a very positive thing. You know, it doesn't solve your financial challenges. It doesn't eliminate stress. But it's a tool that frankly, in a proactive way, and even when you find yourself in a difficult situation, you know, my experience has been when I've sat down and done budgets, you know, even at work sometimes, or even in my own personal life, I have these aha's, things that if I have the discipline to really understand where my cash flow and my money is going, I sometimes am amazed. And and it's only something you as an individual or you as a husband and wife or a family can really do is to sit down. But you know, I think one of the most compelling things about a budget in a family is it's an opportunity for a dialogue. And we've talked about, you know, Brother Harlan's talked about, you know, and we've talked about prayer and communication with God and how a good relationship with God is so important as a foundation, as a basis for the relationship with our spouse or within our family. And the fact that you can come together and sit down with your spouse or your family and say, let's go through and understand a budget. Let's look at where our money is going. And then to sit down and make a budget and dialogue back and forth about where you agree or where you disagree. You know, it is about communication. Oftentimes in a relationship, we want to do things in a vacuum. We don't want to have that relationship or that discussion. Because sometimes, you know, we get a little bit selfish and I really don't want to talk to Wendy about the budget because that might mean that some things that I really like that I know that she doesn't particularly care for, you know, it's just going to cause more stress. But yet again, I think when you talk about a budget, you know, what's the goal? And again, I think we're going back and we're sitting down and we're talking about biblical principles of how God would want us to be good stewards of what? Our resources? His resources.
Spending money wisely in a compromise. Got to compromise with God, doing God's will, what He thinks it's best for you and best judgment, and listen more to your heart, mm-hmm. not the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we should do. We should ask ourselves, what would God have us to do with His resources?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's a biblical principle. Proverbs 27:23, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Be careful, give careful attention to your herds. Know what you have. You know, again, remember back to them, you know, either they were shepherds, they had flocks and herds, you know, give an account. Know what it is that you have. And I think that again, it's a very biblical principle. In terms of a budget. And to me, a budget is understanding what it is that you have and then how are you going to use it to the best of your ability to carry out God's will in your lives. Agree? Disagree? Questions? Comments? I'm going to pass out in these next... What this is are some of the slides that we're going to be looking at, and it may be something that you want to either write on or you may choose to take it home or you may choose to deposit it somewhere else. Oh, I think we're fine. If you want to, feel free to use it or just set it down there. Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I think one of the first things to do, and again, what we're going to be talking about, this is really kind of more of a practical approach to talking about how can we go about, and if you have opportunities to share ideas or thoughts of how this has worked for you or hasn't worked for you, you know, again, the more that we can learn from each other, I think the better off. But really what this is the first thing that I think that we have to do, and ideally, if you can sit down and look at your expenses over a month's period of time. You know, Sister Glenna talked about, you know, getting a piece of paper and a pencil and sitting down and saying, where's my money going? And taking it with you. This is probably the most difficult side of it is sitting down and saying exactly how much am I spending and actually where is it actually going. But once you've done it the first or the second time, you go through it, then your eyes get much more open. But it does take a discipline, and this is one of the things that when it's something you really want to do, you know, it's easy to say, ah, it's too much effort. But I would really encourage you to consider trying to track where your expenses are at. Another thing that's really important to do is if you can stand back and if you keep receipts, you know, when you're talking about your gas and your electric and your house payments, those types of things, you might be able to sit down and you might be able to say, okay, what's the average? How much is my gas bill each month for my house or my electric bill, and it may fluctuate. But maybe if you have got 12 months of information, then you can average it out, and you can get a sense of kind of where, how much a month should I be budgeting for that particular item. And then I'm going to, just the first couple ones here, you'll get the idea of what we're doing. But then, again, remember what we're trying to do is on a monthly basis of where's our money going. And in this particular case, this individual's their mortgage or their rent is $650. They're also spending $35 on insurance. Now, we can conclude that perhaps, you know, I don't know exactly what these items may necessarily be. This might be renter's insurance, or not renter's insurance, but it might be mortgage insurance under housing. They're paying $25 in taxes. Obviously, this person that put this together does not live in Oregon with our property taxes. But I know this is some other states that property taxes are much less. In this case, they're spending $80 on electricity. And if you go in, you can fill it all in. You know, choices are being made. You know, you've got the water bill, you've got your garbage bill, telephone. $75, obviously this person, this family has got cable, and it doesn't appear that it would be the basic cable that they have. Okay? They're spending under housing category $1,000. And again, I like this grouping of different categories, though, whether it's housing. You know, they're spending $175 a month for food. Now, in this particular case, that may not sound like very much food, but you're going to see why here pretty soon. Automobile, they got a $250 a month car payment. They're spending $210 on gas and oil, and they've got $5 for licenses and taxes, and repair $40, whether or not they're spending that or they're setting that aside. Any case, they're spending $625 for their car. Now, they may need that car. They may need transportation. Again, that may be a choice or an opportunity for them to look at their expenses. They're also spending $170 a month on insurance. They're spending $60 on life insurance and $110 on medical insurance. Now, again, we don't know if that's deductibles. You know, maybe they're spending $110 in medical savings accounts, so they think that dollars are going to go farther because they're tax deferred. There's all sorts of those types of opportunities when you start looking closer. In this particular case, they're paying $75 for one credit card, $50 for another, and a third credit card of $20 for a total of $145. Now, what we don't know is whether or not that $145 is the minimum payment they have to make, or whether or not, you know, they don't use their credit cards very often. But I would suggest in this particular case, the fact that they've got three credit cards is probably a little bit of a concern. I mean, I think that you can get too many. I mean, every one of us probably each week gets these opportunities to have a new credit card come to our houses. Entertainment. They're eating out. And that's where part of that food bill is going. They're not staying at home. They're eating $300 a month, in this particular case, eating out. They've got $30 in other activities. Again, remember what they're doing is they're writing down where they're spending their money. Okay, this isn't their budget. This is just where they're spending their money today. $80 on clothing, no savings. Medical, I got $460 a month in miscellaneous, toiletries. I tried to figure out what that was. I figured that had to be all Wendy's makeup. It couldn't have been anything that I was using. What's that? My hair products. There you go. They got $20 in subscriptions. They got $200 and they're spending in cash. They didn't know how to categorize it. They just spent $200 that they used cash for. They're not investing anything. And $40 in schools and child care.
Forgot shaving gear too.
All right. So, well, I don't shave. So, yeah. So, very little. Yeah. You're right, though. Yeah. So, in this particular example that they've got, and I think the sheet that you've got there shows that they had $3,138 in total expenses. That's how much cash flow that this family had that went out in this given month. Any questions or comments on that?
Yes, this is either a single person or a couple. If they only spend $475 on food, that's eaten out.
Right. Yeah, and again, excellent point. You know, again, we don't know exactly, you know, where these choices were made and what their particular house situation is. And those are all things that all this is intended to be is a little bit of a guide to pose some questions to get us thinking as we sit down and consider doing it in our own families. This next thing is actually sitting down and actually talking about this at the top. You have it there. It says existing versus desired budget. So on the left-hand side, really what we've got now, when you get from this housing all the way down, those are those categories on the previous one. So you got housing, it was $1,000, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, food comes down. So you can see, we're going to fill in the numbers, but just kind of give you a comparison to the tool that you have there. But we're going to take an approach. You need to know that this family or this individual has $4,200 in gross income a month. Now, one of the things that, just to stop for a second, is that sometimes, how many of you get paid every 2 weeks? Yeah, I do. Every 2 weeks. Now, sometimes you know, you get paid weekly, and sometimes you only get paid once a month. I mean, there's different ways. But one of the things that again, each situation is different. In each situation, there's no set rules of that this is how you should do it. But one thing that over the years that as I've looked at it, is instead, if you're on every 2 weeks, that's actually 26 checks that you're going to get. Now, you can take that 26, that $4,200, and divide it by 12 and come up with, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it comes out. But if you come back and you look at it and say, you know, but what I'm going to do is if I live to that average each month, there's only 2 months a year that you're actually going to get that third paycheck. And so one thing to do is if you're thinking about putting a budget together and you're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, one way to approach it might be to say, I'm going to do my budget and make my choices based on that paycheck every 2 weeks being 1 month. And then you've got, it's almost like, quote, free money when you get those two paychecks that they're not in your budget. And then you can choose to do those to either pay debt, or you might want to use them for savings, or you might use those for personal things that to celebrate, to say, we did. Or emergency, absolutely. To savings, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And those are some of the things we won't be spending a lot of time on tonight, because the savings side of the equation and some of the rules of thumbs that are ideal are there if you have the ability to save money. So right off the top, 420 comes from where? 10%. It's tithe. First fruits, right off the top. Remember we talked about that was it before, was it gross or was it on net? And we concluded from a biblical principle, do you want to be blessed on gross or net? And we said that from a principle standpoint of view in the Bible, it's of our first fruits, it's off the top. In this particular case, the tax on that $4,200 was $840. That means the $4,200 minus the $420, the $840, there's $2,940. NSI stands for net spendable income. That's how much discretionary money, those after those first two things, that remembering previous ones, we said those weren't discretionary choices. Those were given. Questions? All this does here is fill in from the first page that we looked at how much the totals were in each one of those areas. So in this particular case, the total expenses from that first page was $3,138, correct? Well, it says they had net spendable income of $2,940. They're in the hole $198. I've experienced that before. Now that's when the stress begins. and we begin to feel a lot of those types of things. So the next thing to be able to do is to sit down, and that's when we want to start doing a budget. And the remainder of what we're going to come out, we're going to see where this family, this fictitious family, the real family, or this real individual, you know, started making some choices. But they the first thing that they do after keeping track of their expenses for that month, they do have an idea of how much they're spending. And they're spending more than what they're taking in. Now, when you look at all this, intuitively, do you see where there might be some things that people, that there are choices that are involved in some of those? Because I would suggest to you that a good portion of these are lifestyle choices that fall in here. Not all of them. But this is where we're going to start making some of those choices. Housing, $970. In this particular case, they said that we believe that we can drop from $1,000 to $970. Now, one thing that really jumps at me that they could make the decision here is that cable. I might not have been able to watch that Super Bowl in high def today, but I might have been able to use those rabbit ears, Brother Steve, and I might not even need cable. But again, those become those types of choices. So in this particular case, whatever their decisions were, they were going through all those categories that lined up underneath housing and said, which of those do I have choices that I can make? You may not like the choices, but that's where you have to be honest in that relationship with your spouse to say, is there a choice here? Food, $220. Now, it's gone up, and we'll see why here in a second. If you come down, the auto, they stayed the same. Insurance, they dropped. I don't know why they dropped in the insurance, and it may have been that they may have been paying a higher deductible. There may have been something, but the person who put this together didn't, you know, give a hint as to why they dropped in the insurance, but there was something here that they thought was discretionary. And we're going to talk more about insurance, so we may not get to it all tonight. Comments? Well, it's clear they still have to meet that minimum payment on the debt. This would imply to me that that's what this was a minimum payment. The entertainment went from $420 down to $235. And I think what you really saw, remember before there was that eating out was what, $300? So they dropped a good portion of that eating out. And in doing that, they had to bump up, you know, $50. It's a lot of beans and macaroni. It reminds me back of when I went to college. And there's, you know, other times you may find yourself in the same thing, but our goal, because on our budget was, is that we all bought a full case of macaroni and cheese. I was thankful that I had it on many occasions, but yeah. Those are choices, and they may not be the choices we necessarily like, but I'll tell you, God tells us that we're not going to go hungry. I mean, there's people that do, and that's where we have to see need, and we have to reach out, and we have to help people. On the miscellaneous, they dropped. And again, they probably... Go ahead. Makeup. Went. That $200 cash that I was spending for myself didn't get impacted in that whole thing. Yeah. And then the child care, they didn't make any changes there. And but the good news is what they did is they came down as they reduced their total expenses from $3,138 down to $2,783 based on the fact that they laid it out. And again, I think it's a great tool. You know, and sometimes, you know, we all just kind of go, well, this is pretty basic stuff. But, you know, I think it is. It's just having that discipline to sit down and have that dialogue either with yourself or with your spouse.
Especially these days when you want to buy video games or movies, DVDs, and that screen, TV, the cell phones, the brand new cell phones, entertainment item. That could be a luxury item of entertainment, but that could be real expensive.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Not just the gas prices and clothes and cologne, aftershave for us guys.
There's lots of choices that are out there. There's a lot of competition for our desires and our wants, which is totally different than our needs. And we live in a world, in a country, that is all about choice. It used to be just vanilla or chocolate, but now how many different flavors of ice cream do you have?
Too many.
32 is, yeah, and that's not, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
More like 100 flavors.
That's right.
A lot of newer ones.
In this particular case, they've got $157 that are positive. Yeah, you like that math? That's new math. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you how you can turn that into $157,000 if you come back next week. But what do you do with that $157? Okay? And we talked about that. That's a great idea.
Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day. That's a wonderful idea. Another idea would be to go back and maybe help pay off that debt. And if you pay the debt off, depending, again, how much is there, we don't know. But either saving it for that unfortunate event that things doesn't always work with that budget. You can put it out, but something always seems to go a little
first.
Bit.
That's
yeah?
Priority.
Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, you know, the solution was I'm going to pay $302 towards my debts and get those paid off. And if I can get those paid off, then I've got $302. And so, again, you get into those choices and what's best for you, given the full. You have to put context around the choices that you have when you're sitting down trying to look where the discretionary and you're trying to look long term. How long is it going to take me to pay off that debt? Well, if it's a short time, then maybe you go ahead and get it paid off. Or you start paying a portion of that $157 you have. I'm going to give half of it there, and I'm going to put $75 into savings. I mean, it's all those types of choices that you have. So, any particular questions or comments on this? Agree, disagree? Other words of advice or experience?
I think one of the things that you had said earlier is that helping people work through budgets, it's a little bit of a challenge, but it's always surprising. You know, you'll get numbers that kind of surprise you. Oh, I didn't realize that we did that, or I didn't realize, you know, that number was so low, or this number was that. And until we write it down and add it up, you know, you really can't, you know, move things around. And, you know, even when we've done it personally, it's always an eye-opener, and it's always a great exercise. If you haven't done it in a while, it's always good to go back, even if it's not as a result of money issues. I mean, even if you have a lot of cash flow, it's always good to go back, and you're always surprised at, you know, how those items of certain categories sneak up.
Right.
And, you know, it's always good to get that reality check.
And I think, you know, for me too, when I sit down and I start looking at things, if I'm looking for cash flow and wanting to do something, and even sometimes if you're cash flowing okay, this is a great thing to be able to do, because you may say, you know, I really kind of want to change my priorities. You know, I really would like to save a little bit more.
Or retire earlier.
Exactly.
There's so many things.
There's so many different ways to use that. You know, we approach this.
Going easy now doesn't mean that it's not wise to take a look at it.
Exactly.
Can always change.
Mm-hmm. But if we don't stop and ask the question, you know, we approach this tonight of not having enough margin, but I think this is equally applicable no matter what your financial situation is, to look where you're spending your money. Where you spend your money is a function of who you worship sometimes, as we've talked about, where your treasure is, where your heart's at.
I see myself trying to figure out how to go through this exercise with my kids right now, because of course we've had a massive life change, and so it's affecting lifestyle and things that they're used to having, and getting them to understand we can't keep everything the same. And you know, I grew up with parents that were, kids knew nothing about the money issues of the parents, but I'm in a situation where if they don't see to some degree what the issues are, then they can't understand why we need to make this sort of change. Why do we need to cut back on the cable or change the cell phone?
and since you're dating this, it's an excellent point. Again, one of the things that we should all, I mean, you know, Wendy grew up in a house where she didn't know anything about her finances. I didn't know that much. but I knew a little bit more. And again, there's that obligation to model the behavior and to have that dialogue. Sometimes the greatest learnings that you have is in those difficult situations that our kids can see how we model. Uncomfortable choices sometimes that we have to make.
I was just going to say, I think it depends on the age of your kids, too. Hers are at an age where they understand
right.
if they were
right.
three, you wouldn't right. have to have the dialogue. So, you know, it's kind of age-specific things
right.
with our children.
And how many... Were you going to say?
Yeah, she has some, too. But
how many young kids, because they haven't seen how to manage, go out and load up credit cards
because
right. they don't understand, you know, different aspects of those kinds of things? And it's really... You know, I think that the generation we grew up in tended to not teach that. You know, some
right.
some families we were a little bit aware, some maybe not at all. But I think it's really smart to teach our kids at age-appropriate levels,
right.
absolutely.
Especially cell phones, too.
Yeah, they can each up real quick.
With the credit cards.
Did you have something, Sister Joyce?
So just changing the topic a little bit, talking about things that would come out of doing this process again is, as you were going through this, it makes you think back to 25, 30 years ago when we were first starting out, and the way the budget looked then and the hard choices that were made and the necessities and the luxuries that we thought, and to sit down now and look at how the Lord has blessed and provided and eased the need. And it just gives you a reflection of how far the Lord can bring you.
Right. And you know, we're not going to talk about it tonight because our time is up. But next week, we'll get into the lesson on insurance and risk. But again, what's so important is the principle we understand that God, you know, says that the goal and is for us to be content no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Okay, we have to make those decisions and those choices based on what God has blessed us with, or where we may feel that maybe we're not quite as blessed as we'd like to be, but we need to find a way to be content, because each one of us at different points in our life find ourselves in those uncomfortable situations, and they're not because we've done something wrong or that we're bad. And I think it's really important to remember that we can look back and we can see. And one of the things, when you said that, Sister Joyce, is when I think back, that when you didn't have a lot, you made much better choices about what wants versus needs were. And sometimes now, because we're more blessed, we sometimes even blur that line between wants and needs. And one of the things for me is that when you put something down like this, the thing about this is that, you know, I'm a finite person, and you can get pretty immediate feedback when you make these types of lifestyle choices, and that can feel really good. Say, I can do this. Because these are choices that we control and we can make. And when you make those choices and you have the courage to make some of those difficult choices, you can feel really good. And that in itself builds in how we go forward. Did you have something else you were going to say?
Oh, I was just thinking about the children and in today's type of banking. They think that banks spit money out. So, I mean, there's even a very basis to say what isn't in the bank we can't spend. And it only gives us what we have, you know, just really basic things.
That machine just spits
it out.
Yeah.
We can't afford it, but you can go put your card in there and get money.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's a real
yeah.
common.
Yeah,
yeah.
Small kids, yeah.
By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Proverbs 24 chapter. I think God would have us to be good stewards. He wants us to use wisdom, godly wisdom, and that's what we're trying to do, is establish a base to deal with some of those difficult situations that we have all found ourselves in or may find ourselves in today. Through knowledge, godly knowledge. Remember, knowledge is the proper application of wisdom. And what we're trying to do through these series of lessons is look at godly wisdom and apply that. Okay. Any last questions or comments? Okay, next week we'll pick up on insurance, and I think after that, I think it's debt. So, we all stand. Thanks for the feedback. I enjoyed the conversation.